Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
With your wife, thank you.
Welcome to episode 11 Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we're going to be breaking down the menu at the Sur Lounge. And I'm just kidding. We need to do that, actually. That needs to be like a part of an episode one day where we break down the Sur Menu Lounge, put it on the big screen, and share it with everybody. But until then, today's episode, we're going to stay pumped for Vanderpump. We're super pumped for Vanderpump, sorry. With the episode, season 2, episode 3, and then, of course, we'll end the episode. We're going to break down everything that happens in season 2, episode 3. And then we're going to have a reality TV corner where we talk about some of the most recent shows we watch and some upcoming shows that need to be on your radar. As always, I am joined by my podcast partner here, Mr. Matthew Fox, who's live from the Sur Lounge.
Yeah, I was looking into this hibiscus flower rub seared salmon. It's only $40, so.
Hey, can we split it? Is that allowed at the table? I don't think it's probably allowed at restaurants like this, huh?
It is probably allowed. I feel like the prices have come down since the last time I looked at this. it's getting closer. This actually does feel more like Las Vegas prices. Like, I get a spaghetti and meatballs for $32, and then you and I could Lady and the Tramp it at the table. See if anyone notices.
Hey, there we go. They got fried goat cheese balls. Let's see here, the Virgin Mary drink, the pink unicorn, man.
Smoked eggplant dip. You smoke it, or?
Let's see here, dinner appetizers. A little fried goat cheese balls are only $18.
I mean, you have to factor that it's
charred Spanish octopus.
The price is really for dinner and a show. Based on what we've seen, at least that's how it was back when the second season was filming in 2013.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
I don't. They did the OG show is over, I think, now, right?
But they're coming back with new people, I think I heard. So it'll be definitely interesting. You get an 8-ounce American Wagyu butcher burger for $32.
Well, it's because as we've seen on the Valley, watching people in their 40s and 50s do the same thing that they were doing in their 20s doesn't feel cute. It kind of feels like a cautionary tale.
It really does, and that's kind of where it kind of unpacks in so many different ways, and that's a perfect segue to go ahead and get started here with season 2, episode 3 of Vanderpump Rules, Season 2, Episode 3, titled Only the Lonely. Stassi rekindles her romance with Jax when the Sur staff head to her mom's house in Lake Arrowhead. When Sheena complains of yet another injury, Lisa smacks her down for playing the sympathy card. So, two things. As we have realized on this description of each episode, I don't feel like Lisa ever put the smack down on her. She made fun of her a little bit and said, hey, you need to step it up. I don't feel like she leaned it. I was expecting like nonstop. I was expecting at least Lisa to give her the lay down.
I think we've seen a very short fuse for Lisa in Vanderpump Villa. So I think going back and seeing this just makes you realize that it took her 15 years to get there. But she's over it.
Yes, very much so. Because obviously, if you blend this show together with you know, the Val or Vanderpump Villa, like she, you know, she gets tired of some shit.
Also, but, like, I know Sheena's still alive because she was on this season of The Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm.
But it is starting to get concerning here. You know, like your eye, she lost the contact in her eye. That's not good.
No.
She had a hematoma that crippled her.
Yeah. She couldn't walk.
So. Do you have like a blood-borne illness? Or,
the tooth thing? The
tooth thing is just strange. Her tooth fell out. It went dead, they said. How does... Yeah. Are you just not a fan of brushing, or
that's terrifying to think about?
Yeah,
but the focal point of this episode was Tom Sandoval. I mean, was the Lake Arrowhead trip, but it was quite possibly the best episode of Tom Sandoval we have seen in a long time. Matthew Fox and I, we watched this separate from each other, and we get very excited when we find out that Tom Sandoval is going to be the forefront of our show. And Tom Sandoval is very, very excited about it. Very, very excited because his band is opening up for another act, and I forgot the act's name. And even when they sung the song, I still didn't know what band that was, by the way. Like, it was supposed to be like their popular song.
I think it was just an individual singer. Or, he was excited, yeah. But I didn't recognize the song.
I didn't recognize the song.
Yeah. Going back when he was giving them all grief in the car because none of them knew who that was.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been allowed to ride in the car either.
No, we would have got yelled at by Tom too. Can we talk about these car rides though? Like I think that the car rides would be an episode in themselves that I would watch because each one of the one from Vegas, remember there was a big old battle for the one from Vegas. And then there's this one now where Tom and Kristen were like fighting the entire, like there's places to fight. But if I'm having to drive for any ample amount of hours, I don't know how long Lake Arrowhead was from where they live in Los Angeles-isk area. But however long that is, the idea of listening to Tom and Kristen fight for that long of a time sounds pretty awful. Because you had Tom, Jax, and Kristen all like crammed into the backseat.
The guess, so just a vague Los Angeles to Lake Arrowhead on Google says about 90 minutes.
Well, that probably feels like 4 hours.
Well, that's a long time of fight to listen to people bickering. And if they were going to bicker, why not drive yourself? I'm just going to say MVP is Katie because she managed not to drive them into a ditch while bringing them there. And she graciously drives two couples at odds.
Mm-hmm.
By herself, while Schwartz wisely had another commitment and had to come up later. Brilliant. I mean, he should be your MVP. I mean, basically, I mean, those two. He managed to avoid the car ride and get up there just in time to see Tom break down in tears at the table.
Yep.
And Katie managed to get them there safely without driving into a ditch. I mean,
yeah.
The other four, all kinds of mess.
It really was. And speaking of all kind of mess, we finally got the Jax Taylor tattoo reveal. Obviously, they're on the beach. They tell him to take his shirt off.
It achieved his goal.
It did. I mean,
surprisingly achieved his goal.
So the thing about it was, is it was definitely interesting because it was like they played this up to this big reveal because he took it off and you could see a tattoo here. But he just was like, oh, look at my tattoo. They're like, oh, no. What is that other tattoo? What's that other tattoo? And he puts up the bicep and it's like right there. Stassi. And I'm like, I don't know how from a distance they saw that that was what her name was on there because, and I found, you know, we find out it was her signature or whatever, which we are kind of new, but it was her signature. But still, I can tell it says Stassi from watching it on TV and it's close up. Them on the beach, I can't really figure out either. But she was speechless and then told the ladies that it softened herself towards him, which it is what it is. But then we get Stassi's mom, who I don't know for MVP. Let's be real. Actually, I have an MVP of this episode. But Stassi's mom is not thrilled with the tattoo or the fact that she went to dinner with him. And then,
or seemingly the fact that she brought him up there,
or the exactly, or that she brought him up there, and the grilling session. That's what it should have been. Stassi's mom grills Jax Taylor and still does not. She said, "I'm going to tolerate you tonight," which is something I think Jax has probably heard many times in his life.
Mostly from younger women, though.
Yeah, well, that's also very accurate.
But it's just after last week and that dinner where it's definitely over. His argument to Stassi last week was, you send me mixed signals.
Yes.
And she's agree. Like, well, let me be very clear.
Yes.
This is. Then you invite him to your mother's vacation house for the weekend, which that is not a very clear signal.
No.
And then when you're walking around, you talk about the fact that you guys were contemplating marriage. Also, not a clear signal.
No.
So I don't love the behavior we've seen from Jax. I don't think he's probably that incredible of a guy. In fact, we're wow. watching a contemporary version now that sort of confirms these things. But he's not wrong.
Yeah.
About the mixed messages and the stringing along. And it would be fascinating to know if they were doing this for the show. I don't think they're just doing it for the show. And
because she's like sitting so there admitting to like her best friend. She's admitting to her best friend that she still has feelings for Frank. Mrs. Frank wants to fly to DC and stalk Frank.
Well, and last week's dinner was so ponderous and difficult to sit through, but the one takeaway I was going to have is at least it's finally over, and then just right back into the dumper.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Not over anymore. Tom did have the line of the first part of the episode. He said, you can tell Stassi's mom has experience going on drinking, mother like daughter. Laugh mass off. You know.
It was a rougher episode for Tom. You know, I felt bad for him when she wouldn't give him a hug and she gave him crap for practicing his guitar, which did not seem that loud. You have an electric guitar that's not plugged in that you're just strumming. You'd have to be in the room to hear that. I'm sorry. That's not rude per se. But then he turned around and kind of flipped out when he came into their room and there's just and broke down crying at the table.
It was an emotional ride.
He spends too much time with Jax. He needs to spend more time with Schwartz.
Yeah,
who like Jax pulls up and he's like, apparently we got here at the wrong time.
Like, yeah, because Jax pulls Tom aside and is like, how much more can you take, man? And like, there was elements of it. Like, I agree with you. There was elements of it that I was like, I felt bad for Tom. Tom's like, look, I just want to get a kiss goodnight. We're still sleeping together. We're still living together. Like, it's not like he was like, hey, let's go get it hot and heavy in, you know, Stassi's, you know, vacation home, but our parents' vacation home. But it wasn't like that. And then it kind of turned into this big fight. And then Jax is over here mumbling, I told you to break up with her a year ago, which I just, the last person in this world that I would take relationship advice from is Jax Taylor. Yeah. Ever. I mean, ever.
Or life advice.
What'd you say?
Or life advice. Just any kind of advice.
Yes. And then probably my favorite moment of the entire episode, Jax gets grilled and roasted by Stassi's brother, Nicholas, while playing video games. Nicholas, he consistently asks Nicholas if he can be buddies again and then tries to convince Nicholas into helping him win Stassi back. This conversation back and forth is hilarious because Jax asks him, how many girlfriends do you have? He says 10, and Jax, of course, is upset because he can't even have one. And, you know, he calls him out and says, well, you cheated on her. I'm like, did we just have, like, table talk with the 10-year-old? You know what I mean? Like,
you know, people get real when they're playing video games.
And you know, and he's, you know, obviously you can be in love with, you can only be in love with one girl. This is the same advice from a kid that moments earlier said that he had 10 girlfriends. So I just was very, I was very moved by his,
well, he's only in love with one of them though.
Well, I guess so. Right. You know what I mean?
And they're all sitting here trying to figure out who's the one.
It's not Jax. In the morning, obviously, you know, we talked about the lunch where, or the breakfast or whatever, where Shorts shows up. Stassi was literally trying her best not to laugh the entire
Shorts
time.
Shorts and Peter.
Shorts and Peter, yeah.
The ultimate tag along.
He really is, though.
He just pops up when they need comic relief.
I'm not a fan of Stassi, but her holding back her laughter throughout this entire scene was pretty fucking great. Like, I mean, I was laughing my ass off at her because she's like, he's literally crying. And who was the one that said, I think it takes a big man to cry in front of their bros? Somebody said that. I don't remember who it was. I know it wasn't Tom Schwartz because Tom Schwartz just made fun of him the entire time. Crying.
I know, because I had kind of checked out by then. It might have been Peter. He's like the emotional support
dog. Oh, wait, what?
Well, kind of like, I mean, we knew he was the ultimate tag along during the season one reunion when he shows up to just mix their cocktails at the end. Not cool enough to be on the panel, but cool enough to show up at the end.
Cool enough to still get a paycheck. You know what I mean? I would love to see how long he lasts.
Michael Scott of the group. You know, he's like the manager who wants to be the friend.
And then, of course, we get a scene where Stassi said her whole plan is to get Stassi stuff all over Jax, which was definitely interesting. I love Kristen's line of saying this. Seeing Tom on stage makes me forget all the shitty things he did and makes me love him again. There are times I want to punch Tom in the balls, but in this moment, I want everyone to know that is my boyfriend.
Yeah, and they have a dysfunctional. I mean, everything's dysfunctional. Like the first season, I don't think we spent enough time with them to really get, you know, there were indications, but
that's one I agree with you because they've been together, I think it was like 4 or 5 years at this point. So it's like you never see them together to make you feel like you should care about the relationship in some aspects. You know what I mean? Like that to me is, and obviously I guess next week is where we starting to heighten the drama with the introduction of another interesting piece of the puzzle here. But man, we never really get that. Like you said, we never really get them, you know, being down that run. And also I think what's funny is here too, is Stassi talking about Kristen and Tom. I see them years and years from now cheating on one another, hating each other, still the same shitty apartment. You're the same person literally taking back Jax Taylor over and over again here. Like, I...
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With the struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
You know, later on that night, speaking of which, later on that night, they're mucking it up. He asks for a hug, follows with a kiss. Of course, they kiss. She said, it feels nice. He's been so nice to me, and it was a good moment.
The back and forth. Can I have a hug? Is that too needy? How about a kiss? Is that too needy? This is the room where we used to hook up when we came here.
But hey, man, all you got to do, listen, men of the world, if you learned anything from this episode, if you break up with a girl or if a girl breaks up with you, all you have to do is get her name tattooed on you and she will come swooning back for more.
I don't take any lessons from any of the dude bros in this. If you're starting to think that they're on the right path, go ahead and watch season 2 of The Valley and you'll figure out that. Still in their 40s, train wreck. I have to, since we are contemporarily watching that, there was a revelation about him that came out at the end of that episode. I don't know if you're watching, where he said they diagnosed him as bipolar.
Yes.
If that's true, it does make watching all the past stuff in a slightly different lens. I'm not excusing anything, but
no,
you know, that is a pretty serious issue, and that might actually explain if that's accurate. Now, of course, that's him telling them, which
yeah,
we have to take with it. We have to see the follow up on that.
I need to see the doctor's note. It's not like he hasn't
met with the doctor and lied about it before.
I need to see the doctor's note. Okay, let me see that doctor's like disorder. I need to see.
That would explain some. Because I do feel like one of the things that's curious to me is he has some wild peak and valley swings.
For sure. Yeah, because there's moments like through even watching the early stages of this, I think that it's, I don't think he's like ever really, like you never see him as like a good person, but I do think that he has often good intentions throughout the first, you know, season in the first couple episodes of Vanderpump Rules. I do think that I do genuinely feel like he does love Stassi. And you can see that. But also, I feel like I also get caught up in the uncertainty of, like, is it an act? But, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. But before we dive any more into The Valley Season 2, your MVP of the episode is?
Katie. No, I'm being serious. I mean, the fact she didn't drive them into a ditch, that's kind of rough that she had to do all that.
Yeah, to me, I had an easy MVP this week is definitely Nicholas. He probably the first and only MVP he's probably ever going to get on the show. I don't know if he ever gets any more screen time in the future, but getting roasted by a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 8-year-old, however old he was, while they're playing video games was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it just made me laugh a lot. So, yeah. All right. We are now, next week's episode should be a lot of fun because Ariana gets introduced to the fold, right? So I don't really know a whole lot about her.
Well, but we've seen her pop up a couple of times, but yeah.
Yep. But she gets the job now, right? So
yeah. Well, I think she's been working there because we've seen her pop up a few times as and they've I just don't think you've realized that it's her. She was actually it's mm-hmm. one of the events and one of the first episodes this season.
Yeah, so season 2, episode 4 is called Rumors. When Stassi finds out about Jax's sexy photo shoot with a female model, she questions whether she can trust him enough to ever love him again. Just when Kristen's work life and love life appear to be back on track, Lisa brings in a sexy female bartender who may have a romantic past with Tom. So, yeah. We are in for an interesting ride. Episode 8 and 9 have some really high IMDb scores. Oh, yeah. Golly, so does episode 13 and 14.
Yeah, I mean
9.3. I'm not reading what they're about, but holy cow.
I think we're going to get to some.
I had somebody tell me that season 2 is the best season of Vanderpump Rules. I had somebody tell me that. They have watched all the
season. It's going to have to pick up because right now I feel like I'm trapped in a cycle of
Jack's once we get past Jax and Stassi, like, I feel like there needs to be more balance of other people in the show. I feel like that's all we're getting right now is just, yeah. I mean, this episode was a little bit more about Tom, which, I mean, we all love Tom here, but all right, let's go ahead and dive into, you know, some more reality TV. All right, seven different shows that we're watching right now. Obviously, Vanderpump Villa is going on. Give me some thoughts on this week's episode. I binge watched all of it at one time, just because, and then I watched the reunion as well. But the Mormon Wives, which is funny that they aired this episode. Yeah. That episode was episode 3. The Mormon Wives is returning with all 10 episodes on the 15th, which some of what unfolded here and at the reunion apparently is going to be out on season 2 of Mormon Wives as well, because there's a lot.
I think the Mormon Wives are in episode 3 and 4 of Villa, because the way it left, they hadn't checked out. We hadn't gotten the comment card or anything. I understand the binge watch. It's not been that incredible.
No,
it's mostly all them trying to get other people in trouble again.
I felt like season 1 was so much better.
Well, and I think where we left off, it certainly looked like Aiden's about to get canned. Mm-hmm. You know, for his
dude sucks.
He made the one girl really uncomfortable, and he has a weird thing for getting too attached to the guests, because we saw it with Polly in the first set of guests, and now he's trying to get in the middle with somebody else and dropping all this negativity about the staff and stuff, to the point where she was so uncomfortable she went and sought out another staff member to let them know. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty grim sign. And then for him to just deny he did it. Like, bro, there's cameras everywhere. And also, the person that you told this, like, came and issued a complaint. You're not getting out of all this. Just justice for Chef Anthony, who is just whipping up some gourmet meals, trying to stay away from all the drama. You know, Ciotti and Sienna, it's turning into a fairly weird and toxic set of relationship. And apparently he is English.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
It is very confusing. And in the reunion, there's a lot to unpack in the reunion, and I'll talk a little bit more about it once Matt's caught up into the world. But it's I have a problem with some of these reunions. I feel like we start to unpack some of the craziness of what unfolds, but I often feel like there's too much crazy that goes on that they don't want revealed, because the funny thing about it is so season 1 was way different from season 2, because in season 1 they worked the entire time. Like, they would, but I think there was a lot of complaints about that. Like, they would work 12, 14 hours a day. And now, as we talked about in the first couple episodes, there was like batches of shifts. That wasn't talked about in season 1, because I even remembered some of the interviews I did. They worked all day, every day almost, you know, for the entire time they were there. So the shift thing's definitely interesting, but also, like, the shift thing's there, but then they also were like, hey, you know, if you really go above and beyond, like, you know, and the thing about it is like, if there's a season 3, it's almost unfair that Chef Anthony's there, because he's like, to me, he's like always somebody that's going to have the apple of the eye, because he's always doing his job. And it's not to say it's an easy job. I don't want to say it's an easy job, but it's an easy job to stay away from a lot of the drama.
Well, and I mean, so those kind of elite level chefs are probably used to 12 to 16 hour days.
Exactly.
And that's what you have to do. And that's why he wanted to get rid of that sous chef, because she just showed up late. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So this episode of The Valley was something. First off, I did not know Danny was in a spoof of The Fast and the Furious. I need to watch that movie, apparently.
I was hoping they were going to drive actual go-karts.
That's what I thought too. That's what they all thought.
They were wearing racing outfits.
Yeah, because Janet was
half a racing outfit in Jesse's case.
Janet was like, I've never been to a NASCAR race. So I was like, I thought they were
pointing to the
Janet was like, I've never been to a NASCAR race. And I'm like, you still have never been to a NASCAR race now. Like, you know,
well, you
like,
weren't going to a NASCAR race anyway. There's no way they're letting you in a stock car.
But yeah, I don't. Yeah. So can we talk about Luke
not know? He apparently set this up, apparently didn't know either. He looked
equally
surprised that
like Luke set everything up, but yet they managed to, he still didn't know what actually was going on. It was quite hilarious.
This is two failures for him in a row. First of all, what happens when you're talking to your friends should stay with your friends, absent idle speculation to stir the pot. He's like, well, I didn't mean to stir the pot. Yes, you did.
You did, brother. You did. Yeah, and that's where a part of me is like, hey, man, like you used to be the guy that used to want to stay out of everything, especially in season one, but now we're here. To me, it's crazy to me, like, why would anybody outside of drama want to tell Jax what they're doing? First off, Jax is crazy. He's fucking blowing Brittany up with text messages left and right.
It is weird. I thought they usually took your phone when you...
Well, apparently it gets 15 minutes of phone time a day.
No, between each therapy session.
Therapy session. He gets 15 minutes of his phone.
Why would you get it at all? Usually, especially the first few weeks you're in that immersive environment, you're usually cut off. You can't have visitors. You can't, I mean,
and why wouldn't you, why wouldn't they,
for $30,000 they should be taking this shit more seriously.
Yeah, I mean, because we get a little video of him, like you said, at the end of the episode. But it's interesting. This episode, I don't know. I agree with you. It's the craziest thing about this entire thing. It doesn't matter who you do or don't like in this entire thing. There's not many people that you really could want to love about the Valley, but it's crazy to watch. And I can't wait to like have like the Britneys and some of these other, like, I think Britney's like one of the only other people on the show outside of Kristen that's on the show consistently on Vanderpump Rules too. A lot of these people make one or two appearances at some point. I'm sure it's probably towards the end of the season, or the end of the series per se. But it's crazy to watch some of these people. Like some of the stuff is just, some of them just need to be backed over with a car. But yeah. So any parting thoughts on the Valley episode four?
I mean, it's probably the most dysfunctional trip to wine country since Sideways. At least Sideways, you get a good hang with Paul Giamatti.
Let's see here. All right, this week, what's today's date?
Today is May 11th, Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, in fact. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
We're hearing this a week later.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. 5:15, obviously, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, Season 2. All 10 episodes are dropping at one time on May 15th. The following Monday, Lego Masters is kicking off on Fox. The week after that is Destination X. I actually can't wait to talk about that. But let's see here. That's really Sneaky Links is coming out on May 21st on Netflix. I'm going to start binging that soon as well. Lots of reality TV. It's summertime. We got the big announcement that Love Island's coming back on 6/3. I'm going to try to figure out a way to cover that because obviously that's a huge show. Next Gen NYC starts on 6/3. Below Deck starts on 6/2. New show on Fox called The Snake sounds interesting. Starts on 6/10. But it's summertime. Well, so lots and lots.
Summer does end up being usually the reality TV
time.
We have a couple more weeks. Or actually, I think next week is the last week of the regular broadcast season. But my shout out before we get out of here, I'm going to make my pitch once again. The Rehearsal is the greatest thing on the history of TV right now. Because in episode 3, Nathan Fielder, in order to further this concept of trying to figure out the interpersonal dynamics of pilots in a cockpit and how that might help aviation safety, decided to figure out if he could get in the mindset of Sully Sullenberger by using his biography to relive his life starting when he was a Sully baby. Nathan Fielder made himself a Sully Sullenberg baby, complete with a giant crib, a giant animatronic parent, had his diaper changed. So you're watching it all. It was incredible. Him laying on a bed, just listening to Evanescence, because apparently that was a big podcast or a big iPod favorite for Sully Sullenberger. This following the previous week, when a pilot just unabashedly talking about being booted from 5 different dating apps because of his behavior toward women and not really understanding why that happened. Gold. This entire thing is gold. It is a half hour week on Sunday nights. There have been 3 episodes. They're all available on Max. The 4th episode is tonight. What he's doing is unbelievable and some next level stuff that is, I mean, it's played almost like a serious documentary, but it is, there's incredible comedy.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Rehearsal, you need to watch it Sundays on Max, obviously the first 3. And then by the time you probably hear this, the first 4 episodes are streaming on Max right now. At some point in time, I need to get on that, get on the Matt Fox bandwagon.
Just so that you can see baby Sully.
All right, folks, next week we'll be back breaking down episode 4 of Vanderpump Rules Season 2. And then we'll be talking about everything else that we're watching at the same time with the Reality TV Corner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode. And like I said, we'll be back next week.
Stay super pumped.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.